Welcome back, everyone. This is Gnostic Media Research and Publishing's podcast, episode number 185. I'm your host, Jan Ervin. This episode is an interview with Walter Graham titled Fluoride, Killing You One Drop at a Time, and is being released on Wednesday, November 13, 2013, and was recorded on Monday, November 11. Walter Graham was instrumental in getting fluoride out of the waters in Northern Ireland, where he lives. He led marches to Stormont and the Health Board, appearing on TV, radio, and press. He was elected PR spokesman for the Coalition of Councils of Northern Ireland Against Fluoridation. He has given talks across Ireland, most recently for the National Health Federation and at Truth Agenda conferences in Dublin and Dundalk. He clearly shows you how fluoridation makes no sense and is dangerous to health, explaining why 98% of Europe rejected it, and what you can do to protect your family and help end the practice of drugging the people through their drinking water. Walter Graham had been working in pharmaceutical marketing when the government announced the fluoridation scheme. All drugs have side effects, and yet the government claimed that fluoride had none. An obvious lie. And we'll be putting several websites up for this episode on the Gnostic Media website, including Fluoride and Accidents, the Curtis Duncan interview, the Fluoride Deception, and FluorideAlert.org, and the Fluoride Action Network. Donations. This episode is brought to you by Lee and Shelley, Ryan, John, Mark, Barry, Paul, Gene, Randy, Aaron, and Joel. Thanks to all of you for making this episode happen. And while we do our best to provide just about everything here for you for free, your donations and website purchases are what keep Gnostic Media going. And I do ask that you help sign up for a membership or make a donation, because we can't do it without you. We also accept Bitcoin, Feathercoin, and Litecoin, etc. up on the Gnostic Media website. Please also check out the store page on the website, where you can order the Wheat Blows bumper stickers, bookmarks that have the fallacies on the back, books, the Gnostic Media Archives, the She-Hera Members Archives, a DVD, t-shirts, or a membership to the older shows for this podcast. And hopefully soon we'll get out the first 5 years of the Gnostic Media podcast. The views expressed by the authors and guests of this unprogram are their own and are not necessarily those held by myself, the host, or Gnostic Media. Check out the website at www.gnosticmedia.com. That's GNOSTICmedia.com. Contact me at contact@gnosticmedia.com or through the contact form on the website. Thank you for listening, and thanks for all your support. Here is my interview with Walter Graham, Fluoride, Killing You One Drop at a Time. Enjoy and become aware. Thanks. Walter, I'm excited to have you on the Gnostic Media podcast. I was informed of your work the other day by Clint Richardson, who had just had you on his show regarding your work in Northern Ireland. And, you know, we've covered so many health issues, and we've touched on fluoride here and there, but we've never done a whole show just on fluoride. So, first off, Walter, why don't you tell us about yourself? Who is Walter Graham, and about your background, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Thanks for having me on first. As far as who I am, I'm just somebody who lives here in Northern Ireland, and I was doing pharmaceutical marketing. Whenever they announced on the radio that they were going to put fluoride in the drinking water, I knew something about fluoride, and I knew it was very toxic, and I couldn't see the idea of delivering drugs through a water system. The whole thing sounded absolutely insane to me. So I then started going to council meetings, along with a small group of other people who went on the same night. We went at the same night as the government made the presentation, and I made a presentation against the government. And at the end of the three-month consultation that they gave us, we had actually 25 out of 26 councils vote against it. And the four area health and social services councils, we had NIPSA, the large civil servants union, and so on. We had a big turnout against fluoridation. But the government said they were going to do it anyway, so I then formed a coalition of councils.
But you were your original background, Walter, you were in pharmaceuticals?
Pharmaceutical marketing.
Okay. And a lot of people would cringe just at that, right?
I know. And believe me, I'm not overly proud of that, but that's what I was doing. But it gave me an insight into side effects.
Is that what took you to Ireland from the U.S.?
Well, no, we came over here originally just for a change in lifestyle. You know, America, we were living in New York, and it's very high-powered. Nothing closes, so nothing's impossible
right.
because of that. And so you're working into the nights all the time, and it's all kinds of every hour you seem to be working. Whereas here, it's more laid back. It's a slower lifestyle. Nothing's open past, other than the pubs. Nothing's open past 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. Maybe restaurants, a few restaurants, but that's it. So it's a quieter lifestyle. That's really what we came here for. But I did pick up a large pharmaceutical firm here that I did work for, and I was doing their marketing whenever the fluoride thing started up. And there you go. So I actually took this issue on and tried to see what I could do with it. We ended up actually winning in Northern Ireland, but it took marching on Stormont. I organized citizens' marches. And
so you were the one who led the campaign against fluoridation in Northern Ireland, is that correct?
Yeah, well, it certainly ended up as that, because what really happened was, as we were going on with this, there were two towns in Northern Ireland which were fluoridated for about 30 years, and nobody had asked those towns if they wanted it. So I formed citizens groups in both of the towns, and then I debated the health board in front of the towns. The towns then voted unanimously to have this stopped. The health boards refused. So then I got those towns together, and we marched on the Capitol building. And we did that a couple of times, maybe two times we marched on the Capitol building. It went on TV each time. And then we marched on the health board. That went on TV. And all the TV coverage and radio coverage was starting to kill them, because they really want to do fluoridation without any consent. They don't want you to even have a say in
it. Right. Let me back you up for a second. I suppose we should discuss with the audience exactly what is fluoride.
Yeah, good point. Fluoride is they say it's a naturally occurring element, but so's strontium-90, and so is plutonium. The problem with fluoride is it's actually a poison. It's in the same class of poisons as cyanide, and it's more toxic than lead, and it's only marginally less toxic than arsenic. And like lead and arsenic, it's a cumulative poison. So it's not the one glass of water that does you any harm, any more than it's the one cigarette that causes lung cancer. It's the repeated doses over a long period of time, like a lifetime, that in your system and eventually cause serious side effects.
Sure, and even with tobacco, we find that they're putting formaldehyde and thousands of chemicals, and people have found that they can cut out these tobacco companies and go straight to the farmers, and suddenly half of the stuff clears up, and your clothes don't stink, and things like that, you know. So they're hitting everything. They're getting us with the water, the tobacco, the food, the air, all of these different things. Now, really quickly, you and just to skip down a second, but you had said that some people actually confuse fluoride with chlorine.
Yeah, because it's actually fluorine and chlorine. I mean, they sound so similar. And people think because it's being added to the water, it's the chlorine we're talking about. But no, chlorine's a poisonous gas that they use to kill off pathogens in your water system. Fluorine, on the other hand, is just a poison. It's as simple as that. And they're putting in very small amounts of chlorine, but they're putting in large amounts of fluorine. It doesn't seem like it. It sounds like a very small amount, one part per million. But there are a lot of drugs that even in smaller parts than that would put you into a hallucinogenic state. So
sure, such as LSD works enough to fit on the tip of a pen is enough to have somebody dosed for 8 hours, 8 to 10 hours.
That's it. That's my point exactly. This seems like a small dose. When they say one part in a million, you know, it's like a pin dot in a swimming pool. But, you know, when you bathe in this stuff, then you drink it all day, then it's in every food that you now eat, because that's the problem. Once you put fluoride in the water, you now put it into your boiled potatoes. It's in your rice. It's in your pasta. It's in every food and drug manufactured using that water supply. So you're not getting the one part per million of fluoride they say you're getting anyway. You're getting one part from your boiled potatoes, from your boiled rice, from your pasta, from your beer, from your tea, and so on. So you're getting a lot of this, and that's not the only sources you have for fluoride. It's in all the dental products, so it's in your mouthwashes, your dental floss, it's in everything. Then it's also, you'll find it in things like CFCs that have cut the hole in the ozone. And then it's used in, it's a killing agent in pesticides and herbicides, so it's sprayed on all your food anyway. So your food will naturally, unless you get organic,
well,
which is
that
what
was, and that
I
was
do.
One of my next questions, is how toxic is fluoride?
Yeah, it's extremely toxic at very small amounts. A large study was just done by the, well, not just done, in 2006, done by the federal government in America. It was under the National Research Council. They did a study on toxicity of fluoride, and their findings came out that even at one part per million, it caused all kinds of changes, like to the thyroid. It caused type 2 diabetes. It caused dental fluorosis, which is the actual loss of tooth enamel on your teeth. So it did widespread damage, and they actually admitted it in the report. And they said it, I think it's 1.2, it did bone damage. At 2 parts per million, there were recorded studies which showed it lowered children's IQs and did brain damage. So this, in very small amounts, does a lot of damage. Even though it seems like it's, it shouldn't because it's so small, it's a poison. And like all poisons, it doesn't take very much. And because it's cumulative, it just builds up in your system.
All right. Since you're talking about damaging the IQ, let's go straight into the IQ studies in China.
Yeah, there've been three studies that were done in a row, and the Chinese government actually found that if they compared IQs of children and parents, normally you see your IQ is the same as your parents. That's part of the genetic pool. But whenever they fluoridate, and then they did comparisons, they found that the children's IQs had dropped dramatically. And I have one of the studies here in front of me right now. It's the effects of high fluoride water supply on children's intelligence. And it says, the first line of the study says it all. It has been reported that fluoride can penetrate the fetal blood-brain barrier and accumulate in cerebral tissue before birth, thereby apparently affecting children's intelligence. Now, there's now 33 international studies which show that fluoride causes neurological damage, brain damage, and lowered IQs in children. Do we really want to put something in the water supply that can jump the placenta and accumulate in the cerebral fluids of a fetus? And yet that's what these studies are all pointing to. It's insanity what they're doing. And babies are at most risk because an adult's fully formed. Whereas a baby's in a developmental, doesn't have its full immune system, isn't there? The brain isn't fully formed. The central nervous system isn't fully formed. So you have an opportunity during that period of fast growth to influence any number of systems in a baby. And you know, the small amount that we're talking about is huge to a baby. Because in pharmacology, you don't hand out drugs by thirst, but that's what they're doing with this. And babies, by body weight, actually, they drink 8 times more than any adult in the house. They drink around the clock. They live off of the water supply. They have no choice. This is now bottle-fed babies.
And so, and just to skip ahead, now here in the States, they have baby water with extra fluoride in it. Is that correct?
I've heard that, unfortunately, and I think it's illegal. I think if you actually pushed it, this would be taken off the market because they're not even supposed to sell fluoridated toothpaste in a fluoridated neighborhood. And yet here you've got a bottled water that has extra fluoride added to it.
Really?
Yeah.
In the U.S., they're not supposed to sell fluoridated toothpaste in fluoridated water areas.
No, because there's...
Isn't that the whole country?
No. Oh, no. It's about 60% of America is fluoridated.
No, but I mean, in the whole country, they sell this fluoridated toothpaste, and there's never any warning that it's not allowed to be sold there.
No, because what happens is, these are recommendations from, like, the American Dental Association and things like that. They've recommended that they shouldn't be sold in fluoridated neighborhoods. But nobody goes around policing it, you see. Nobody goes and takes this up. But when you think about it, if you're already getting fluoride, how much? Why do you need more? You obviously don't. And you get a huge jolt from the toothpaste. You absorb it through your gums. That's aside from, you know, they now have these fluoride rinses they give you at the dentist office or give you fluoride tablets.
Sure.
You know, so you're getting a ton of this stuff. And as I say, the CFCs that cut the hole in the ozone, the chlorofluorocarbons, is fluoride. So it's raining down on us right now. And then it's in a lot of drugs like Prozac, Rohypnol, the date rape drug.
I forget the chemical name of it off the top of my head, but it's actually a form of fluoride.
Yeah, I think it's 94% sodium fluoride.
Right.
That is
one of the drugs that my best friend was put on just before he committed suicide. And so what is their excuse for putting fluoride in the water?
Well, the excuse they're using, which seems to they're able to prop it up with, is that it will reduce tooth decay in adolescent children. Just by a small amount, but they admit that this is what they say. It will reduce tooth decay in small children.
Do you know what percentage about that would be?
Well, they claim 50% of children will have a reduction. But they had a review over here in England called the York Review. And they found that the best that they could claim was 15%. And this was very poor studies. So there is very little difference, because you're really talking, if you wanted a 50% improvement, if you wanted to prove a 50% improvement, you just have to have, you know, if a cavity appears on two surfaces at the same time, it turns a corner of the tooth, right? That would be, you know, they'd count that as two cavities because it's on two different surfaces. If next year it appears on one surface, you've had a 50% improvement. You're still having cavities, but now it's a 50% improvement because it
appears
on...
Rather than changing the diet and removing the wheat and the sugar and things like that that people eat that cause this stuff, and the low-fat diet, we're going to put fluoride in the water. So, you know, it's this typical government whacking at the branches instead of getting to the root of the problem. No pun intended. Let's skip to dental fluorosis for a moment, because how many people's teeth are damaged by fluoride and dental fluorosis as compared to, you know, and I've heard you say possibly as low as only 3% of people are actually helped with fluoride in the water, if the studies are corrected.
Well, the dental fluorosis, first of all, I'll just describe what it is. Dental fluorosis can only be caused by fluoride. That's why it's called fluorosis. They're spelt exactly the same. The only thing on earth that can cause this damage is fluoride. Now, they're pretending that it's going to protect the teeth against cavities at 1 part per million, right? But at 2 parts per million, it causes dental fluorosis, which is white flecks that appear horizontally across the teeth and brown stains that also appear horizontally across the teeth. And eventually, if you continue to take it and you have a bad enough case of dental fluorosis, it takes the enamel right off the teeth. It'll just dissolve it off the teeth. And the white flecks that you're looking at in your children aren't white flecks. If we put them under a scanning electron microscope, they're thousands of little holes that have been dissolved through the enamel of the teeth. So you're telling me it's safe at 1 part per million and does some good, supposedly, to teeth. But at 2 parts per million, it actually dissolves the teeth. Well, there's no margin of safety here. You see, all drugs in the pharmaceutical field require a margin of safety in the order of 100. For example, at 1 part per million, it should do you some good or do you no harm. It should do you no harm until 100 parts per million. That builds in a margin of safety in all drugs. They're required to have that by law, a margin of safety in the order of 100. Yet this has no margin of safety. We're talking at 1 part per million, it's supposed to be good. At 2 parts per million, it dissolves the teeth. At 8 parts per million...
And so what you're saying is the guy at the water plant dumping the stuff in who's wearing the chemical suit, if he accidentally spills in a little too much, he's just poisoning everybody.
Yeah, and it has happened. It's happened. They've had poisonings before. They had one up in Hooper Bay, Alaska. You can look it up online. I think it was 1992. I might be wrong about the date, but it's something in the 90s anyway. And they put it into the wrong tank. And the first person, they dumped it into the well. There was a malfunction in the pump. And the first person who drank from the well went into coma. His sister went into coma. She survived. He died. They've had people die from this before. They've had huge poisonings as far as environmentally. They had the whole of the Allegheny River was killed off at one point because somebody in a water treatment plant and, put the stuff into the wrong tank. The tanks have to be specifically built to take this. It's an acid, you see. What they're putting in the water supply isn't fluoride anyway. They're putting in a chemical cocktail, which is the toxic waste of the phosphate fertilizer and aluminium industry, called hydrofluorosilicic acid. And it's the most corrosive acid on Earth. It's more corrosive than sulfuric acid. And because it's so corrosive, it can't be contained in it can eat through concrete, it can eat through stainless steel, it can eat through fiberglass. The only thing it can't eat through is epoxy plastics.
Now, you had talked about a truck accident in Florida, not Florida. But why don't you talk about that truck accident and what happened there?
Yeah, quite astounding. They had a truck, one of these tanker trucks, transporting the hydrofluorosilicic acid I'm telling you about from Florida to, I think it was North Carolina, to a water treatment plant. That was the idea. Now, as I told you, they have to carry it in epoxy plastic. So the interior of the tanker was lined with epoxy plastic, but there was a pinhole in the lining. And the acid ate through the half-inch steel plating of the side of the truck. It dribbled down and it dissolved the axle and all the tires off the back of the truck. And then the tires and the axle left and they ripped open the truck and the acid spilled out all over the highway. They were forced to shut the highway for quite a period of time. And they had to evacuate 2,000 homes around that spill.
Wow. Now, I just discovered something, and I'm astounded here. There is a website, actionpa.org, fluoridation chemical accidents, and mm-hmm. It has a list of the date, the place, mm-hmm. suspected responsible company, incident type, medium, how many gallons. And it says a truck traveling through Phoenix leaked fluoride for at least four city blocks. And then here's one, 15,000 to 20,000 gallons, a train car filled with anhydrous hydrogen fluoride derailed into the Allegheny River and released its contents. Hydrogen fluoride released from process piping. You know, and this is, and it goes on from 2005 to 1972, and there's probably close to 100 accidents here.
Oh yeah, you can't transport this stuff that easily. It's so toxic. The acid itself is so corrosive it'll just eat through anything. As I say, when it spilled, they had to evacuate the 2,000 homes because if it evaporated and became a cloud, it would have killed off all those homes. Everybody, pets, everything would have died. And that's what they were terrified of. And the first 50 workers who got there, the police, the fire department, and the aid workers that arrived on the scene, they didn't even touch the acid. And they got burns and inhalation problems. And 35 of them had to be treated for serious health conditions in hospital. This is just being near this stuff. And all the cars that drove through the acid had to report to a poison control center where a guy in a spacesuit and goggles got down and washed off the underside of the car with chemicals to try and stop the acid from eating the car. So this is what they're actually putting in the water system. It's not fluoride. We actually took some of that acid from a water treatment plant here in Ireland and had it tested at an independent lab just to find out what else was in it, because it's a toxic waste of the fertilizer industry. So it's not a pharmaceutical grade product. And when we had it analyzed, guess what was in there? They had uranium, strontium-90, it had barium, it had lead, arsenic, mercury, cadmium, chromium, aluminium, I mean, this thing was laced, and all of those things are toxic pretty much, and none of them good for you. So, you know, every time you have a glass of fluoridated water, you're also getting some arsenic, lead, mercury.
So let's back up for a second here, because, you know, back in the 10s, 20s, 30s, 40s, and, you know, there was this guy, real son of a bitch, real piece of shit. He was named, and I've done a lot of work on my show to expose him, and he was also a key guy behind the creation of the counterculture and psychedelic revolution and all of this stuff. His name was Edward Bernays. He was the founding father of propaganda. And this guy, he essentially was hired by Alcoa, because what was going on is Alcoa, this aluminum company, they had all of this toxic waste. They didn't know what to do with it. So they figured the best thing, the best way to treat the toxic waste was to pass it through the human body to neutralize it. And then they hired Bernays to sell this to the public. Would you agree with that?
Pretty much. The only difference I'd say is that they were having a problem at the time, because they had the toxic waste, that's true, but they were starting to have lawsuits, litigation. See, farmers who lived near the factories where, they say, the phosphate fertilizer was being produced, or, you know, even other chemicals were being produced, they were releasing fluoride into the atmosphere. And all the animals, the cattle, were starting to die off around the plant, or get crippling skeletal problems and things like that. And so they started suing Alcoa, and they were having to pay out. They actually had to pay out on a number of lawsuits over fluoride. So now they had a problem. What do we do? You know? So they had to then pretend that there was some really good use for this stuff, that it was actually good for humans, to stop the lawsuits.
Right. So all those people that are, you know, loving their Macintoshes and their fancy aluminum cases, you know, that's all fluoride production. Let me just read something here real quick. This is, and, you know, much of my audience has heard this, but for those of you who haven't, this is from the first page of Edward Bernays' book, Propaganda. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. This is the logical result, using sophism in any way, this is the logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. Vast numbers of human beings must cooperate in this manner if they are to live together as a smoothly functioning society. And I'll add, for the elite. In almost every act of our daily lives, whether in the sphere of politics or business, in our social conduct or our ethical thinking, we are dominated by the relatively small number of persons who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires which control the public mind. And this is the guy, ladies and gentlemen, who marketed to the public for Alcoa fluoride in the water.
Yeah, quite shocking. the father of PR.
this piece of shit is the one who is responsible for poisoning millions of people, folks. You know, and I've had this guy's nephew has even contacted me trying to justify this piece of crap's behavior. You know, and it's just disgusting. Anyway, sorry.
No. Yeah, well, he's
the guy is far worse than Hitler could have ever dreamed of being.
Well, he was more
he was just slicker in the way he killed people. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, but he did it in a secret way, you know? Like that's the worst part of this. People don't understand, you know, how poisonous this stuff is, and then they feed it to their children or they brush their teeth with it. You know, there's no reason.
I've gotten in arguments with my sister and brother-in-law over this crap. You know, my mom had bad teeth and she used fluoride and it got better. Well, you know, if you're eating a lot of weed and a lot of sugar and drinking soda pop and eating candy and not, you know, having a high-fat diet, you're going to have a lot of teeth problems. Look at vegans. You know, vegans have horrible teeth. Just about every, you know, and I was vegan for a while, and I started getting a lot more cavities and tooth problems. And, you know, I've known some vegans that just had the worst mouths. But anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
Well, see, fluoride only works on children. That's the joke of this. It only works whenever you're forming your teeth, you see. And from then on, it really has virtually no effect at all on adults. You know, there's no point in taking it. And there's no point for children taking it in the first place anyway. And most of the fluoride that they put in the water system, 99.9% of it's lost. You know, it goes out in underground leaks. It goes out in wastewater from industry. And then you flush it down the toilet and out the laundry, you know. So you don't use most of the water supply. You know, as I have pointed out here in Northern Ireland, the Department of the Environment, who put this in the water system, actually admit that they lose 40% of all the water in underground leaks before we even get it. So that's 40% of all the fluoride that the tax dollars paid for going out in the environment. Out of the 60% that's left, industry uses 7/8 of the water supply here. So that's 7/8 of the 60% going out. Out of the 1/8 that comes into your house, you use less than 1% of it for drinking. And then how many children have the real tooth problem? This is where the 3% comes in. 3% of the population are the children who have the really bad tooth problem we're trying to cure. So you've got 3% of the
population. Before they get the fluoride, and then 50% after, right?
That's it. 50% of the entire population.
So we try to cure 3%, and then we end up with a problem of 50%. Boy, that's politics for you. Making us sick so that they can make money off of the problem. Now, just let me ask you this. Do you see this as being tied into eugenics?
Well, it certainly looks like it to me, because I can see no other use for this stuff. And I, at one time when I was fighting this here in Northern Ireland, there was a pharmacist who joined in the fight. And she started asking me for all kinds of documents, which I gave her. She didn't believe half of this. And so I gave her actual studies, scientific studies. I had boxes of them at this point. So I started giving them to her. She'd say, well, do you have anything on, bone damage? So I would give her all these studies on bone damage. And she came back to me and she said, you know, I've looked at this and I can think of no other reason why they're doing this other than to cull the herd.
And that's exactly right. And that's why they push the wheat and the high carbo, low fat diet at the same time. So it's a multi-pronged attack. You put water in the fluoride. You starve the brain of fats. Of course, the brain lives on fat and it's made out of cholesterol. So if you don't have saturated fats, your brain is going to be starved. The reproductive system also uses fats and cholesterol. And then so the fluoride attacks which two areas? Does it also attack the reproductive system in the brain?
Oh, yes. It attacks the reproductive system. Oh, for sure.
So it's just ironic that here we have two things going, or three things, wheat and low-fat diet and fluoride, that all three attack the same parts of the human body.
Yeah. And if you know, as I named off to you, it's in tranquilizers, it's in pesticides, it's in herbicides, it's in rodenticides, it's in Prozac, Rohypnol, it's in sarin, the nerve gas. It's the main ingredient in sarin, the nerve gas. Now, what have all of these things got in common? Tranquilizers, pesticides, Prozac, Rohypnol, and sarin got in common. They all work on the central nervous system.
And they're all based on fluoride. Now, I've got this old video someplace that I've shown before last year. Earlier this year, I interviewed Dr. Colin Ross, who's an MKUltra expert, as am I. And he, you know, we were discussing, you know, the damage done from fluoride and things like that. And there's an old video of this guy from the 1950s showing the damage done from on the nervous system from fluoride. And then within a couple of minutes, he shows all of these nerve endings die from a very small dose of fluoride.
Yeah. It's It's a central agent. That's really what it is. This, you know, and the problem is, like Prozac, one of the side effects of Prozac is you start having sexual problems and infertility and so
sure,
on.
Sure, sure. You know, and that was you know, my best friend that killed himself. That was one of the big things. As soon as he got on fluoride, he went totally impotent.
Yeah, and you're really on sodium fluoride, which is the same stuff that's in your toothpaste. Now, why, if it's in your toothpaste, is it doing you some good? But in Prozac, it's making you infertile and eventually causes you to commit suicide.
So you what are some of the other side effects of this garbage that Edward Bernays and the Bernays family have brought us?
Yeah, well, they brought you cancer. It causes cancer. Certainly, it's been shown to cause bone cancer in young males. For some reason, males under the age of 20, large numbers of them get bone cancer in fluoridated areas compared to non-fluoridated. So it causes a number of cancers. It causes irritable bowel syndrome. It causes thyroid dysfunction. You know, it throws off, as I said, lowers children's IQs and does central nervous system damage. And then it causes reproduction problems. And it also does dental fluorosis. So the very tooth it's supposed to be protecting, it actually dissolves it. So there is nothing good about
fluoride. Do we know the level of potential psychological damage that this stuff can cause just on that level alone? I mean, if it's sarin, I guess all the way to sarin nerve gas, just totally wiping the person out, or in fact to the level of just completely killing them as well. Is that right?
Yeah, and sarin, the nerve gas, believe it or not, it's just two household products, two household cleaning products with fluoride added. And fluoride's the active ingredient. You see, in pharmaceutical terms, fluoride, they protect it as best they can because it's like super glue. It can take, you can put two things in a river, two chemicals in a river, and they'll never mix. They won't bond together. But if you put fluoride in, they'll instantly bond together and become a third chemical that never existed before. Fluoride in the pharmaceutical world is like super glue. And it not only does it bond these things together, but it makes them far more toxic. For example, the Valium is a fairly innocuous product, you know. I mean, not totally harmless, but it's not very powerful. But if you add a couple of fluorine ions to it, it becomes Rohypnol, a date rape drug, 50 times more potent than Valium. And yet all you've done is taken two fluorine ions and stuck them in there.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what you're doing every time you put fluoride in your children's mouth and scrub their teeth with it. This is what you're doing every time you drink a glass of water that hasn't been distilled or reverse osmosis filtered. Your showers, if you live in a town that's fluoridated. I mean, you know, if you don't have shower filters and all of this stuff, it's just, insane.
It's very hard to filter this stuff out. I've got to tell you that. That's another thing. Your normal filters that you put on your water system, they will not stop fluoride. They can't. The fluoride's a very small molecule. And
it has to be reverse osmosis or distilled, correct?
Yes. To be effective, there is a filter that has now been designed, but it's huge. It costs a fortune to put it in, and it has to be replaced continuously, so it's very, very expensive.
And just so people know, you can, you know, nowadays you can go on eBay and get 5-pass reverse osmosis countertop systems for like $120, you know, and then you replace the filters, you know, once a year, and you know, the thing will produce, you know, several hundred gallons, which is, you know, good for your drinking water and all your potted water for making coffee and tea and everything. And, you know, at least do that. I suppose we need to at least minimize every single bit of this stuff that we're getting. And no doubt they're spraying it on us from above as well.
Oh, yes, for sure. That's part of the chemtrails. But, I mean, if you look at this, you know, 98% of Europe have actually banned or rejected this in law. So you've got 98% of Europe don't
do
this.
Why does it seem like the British colonies who are entrapped in this whole mess? You know, we have England, the U.S., Canada, Australia, and Ireland.
Yep, and New Zealand.
And New Zealand. There you go. It's all British colonies that are doing that. And the U.S. is a British colony, regardless if people think they're actually free.
Yeah, that's true. It's Britain and its former colonies. That's the only people who are really doing this seriously. Israel was fluoridating, and they've now stopped. They stopped only about 3 or 4 months ago.
Wow.
And it was actually banned by
the. So there you go. If the Zionists support. Have stopped doing it, folks, you better pay attention.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, whenever Holland had it for about 7 years, and a group of doctors fought, and they did a double-blind study proving conclusively that fluoride was causing widespread damage in the whole population. And they then stopped fluoridation in Holland, and the doctors fought on and got the Constitution of Holland rewritten to prevent this from ever coming back.
And then they sold the waste that they couldn't get rid of to you guys in Ireland.
Yes.
And us as well.
For years.
You know, and I would imagine Iceland is producing massive amounts of this stuff as well.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I know we were buying our toxic waste that was being fed to the Irish population. We were buying it from Holland, who had banned it in law.
Now, let me just get something across here, because this is the irrationality of these eugenicists and how poor their critical thinking ability is. I mean, okay, it's going into the water, then it goes into the oceans, it goes into the fish, all of... You know, your animals are getting it, you know, you can't avoid if it's getting out into the environment, it's getting into the groundwater, which seeps back up into the plants and the grasses and everything. So then it starts permeating everything, as you said, the smokestacks, it's killing livestock and things like that. So, you know, I mean, even if you ban it in a whole continent like Europe, these people that do this crap are still going to get this stuff themselves. They can't avoid dosing themselves.
That's true to an extent, but it'll be minuscule in comparison to what the normal person is getting, because they'll control their environment. They'll control what comes into their house. They won't be drinking the water you're drinking.
Yeah, but what about, you know, all of the animals and everything, all the cats and dogs and horses, everything else out there? All of these animals are going to be consuming this. I mean, it's going to spread, you know. Cats eat birds and, you know, like said, it's going into the groundwater. It's going out into the environment. And you might think you're in you know, the boy in the bubble, but... You know, it's like, you know, use some common sense instead of poisoning the whole goddamn world and living in a bubble, you know?
Well, see, they have a toxic waste dumping problem. That's what this is what they're solving. It's nothing to do with health. It's to do with getting rid of their toxic waste. And
sure.
They found a cheap answer to doing this.
Well, I mean, I get that, you know, use us as the filters. I get it.
Yeah. And you pay for it.
And we pay for it. And so
garbage into gold is what you're doing.
Right. And so let me, here's another even more frightening thing that you had mentioned, is that there's been a dramatic increase in depression, et cetera, probably from all of the fluoride in the water, you know, Prozac leads to suicide,
yep.
et cetera. And so then what do they want to do? But you said now they want to add lithium to the water.
Yeah, in the Republic of Ireland, believe it or not, which is the only fluoridated, virtually the only place that's fluoridated in Europe, and they're now considering, because there's so much depression in the Republic of Ireland, why wouldn't there be? They're now considering putting lithium in the drinking water.
All right, I got to ask you something. How much do you know about Aldous Huxley?
Not an awful lot.
Okay, well, Aldous and Julian Huxley, they were the grandsons of Sir Thomas Henry Huxley, who was the propaganda manager for Darwin. He was known as Darwin's Bulldog. Julian Huxley ran the British Eugenics Society and UNESCO, which is in charge of all of this Common Core education, all of these eugenics programs, and all of this stuff. His brother, Aldous Huxley, wrote The Brave New World, amongst others. He was the... we've since discovered, and I interviewed General Albert Stubblebine on my show recently, who is the former commander general of INSCOM, of all global intelligence for the U.S. Army, and he admitted that Aldous Huxley was the key guy behind MKUltra and dosing all of these people, etc., with LSD and other drugs. And when you get in and read Aldous Huxley's books, it's very clear that it's his dream to have a drug for every occasion, that, you know, you'll always be drugged to be happy. Everybody will consume the soma so that they're never unsatisfied with their state of being. Okay, and so basically soma is one of the somas that they're using is this fluoride in the water to keep everybody dumbed down and docile. And this was all actually Aldous Huxley's dream. This was his orchestrating all of this. All of the drugs that we now find in the water and all of these things, this all was Aldous Huxley's dream.
I didn't know that. I guess, you know, I know that this is being done on purpose, and I certainly know that there's no way it's an accident the way things are playing out, because every country in the world that this is put in, and it's mostly America and Canada and, you know, so on, and as you've said, in Australia, when you look at how they bring it in to the country, they don't bring it in as a drug and then test it. You know, they don't bring fluoride in as a drug. They bring it in as a cosmetic and toiletry, and thereby avoiding all restrictions. There's no need for testing. There's no need for proof of effectiveness. They can just start putting it in the water system straight away as a cosmetic and toiletry. And every country that has put this in the water, every one of them have chosen to bring it in as a cosmetic and toiletry. Nobody ever thought, gee, maybe we should test this stuff and see how poisonous it is.
Why would that be?
There you go. So, you know, it's not an accident the way this is all playing out.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you know, we're the wild conspiracy theorists for discussing the facts of this stuff, and we're being negative for, you know, daring to challenge people's fluoride-induced hallucinations.
Well, I'd be advising everybody out there who hears this to get off of the fluoridated toothpaste right now. There's no need for fluoride. It's not a nutrient. This stuff is just toxic. That's all there is to it. And so get a non-fluoridated toothpaste from your health food store or wherever you can get it. And I would start filtering the water with a reverse osmosis or a distillation.
Or even just start using baking soda for your toothpaste if you can't get, you know, fluoride-free toothpaste.
Yeah, it's far superior anyway, because baking soda isn't as corrosive or as, you know, like sandpaperish as the toothpaste is. You know, the toothpaste, normal toothpaste, has jeweler's rouge in it, so it's really got sand in it. So it's scratching down the surface, whereas baking soda doesn't do that. And also baking soda neutralizes acid, which is the whole point. It's the acid that's supposed to be causing the damage. So it's a better product. And farmers here in Northern Ireland all used baking soda for their toothpaste up until the toothpaste started coming on the market back in the 50s, you know?
Sure. Well, you know, and I remember as a kid asking my mom and my grandparents what they used to use for toothpaste, and they said, well, either baking soda or salt.
Yeah. Yeah, it either worked. But the baking soda neutralizes acid, so it's got, and it does good things for your system as well. You know, it makes you alkaline. So
that would stop cancer, wouldn't it, caused by the fluoride?
Yes. you know, cancer can't exist in
it. Oh, it's too good, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it is. It's incredible. Then the other part of this is that as they cause all this damage in the human body, so you get your cancer, you get your osteoporosis and arthritis from it, you get your irritable bowel syndrome from it, you get your thyroid dysfunction. It's the pharmaceutical industry, really, who's putting this in. It's the chemical industry who's putting this in your drinking water. Now you're forced to go out and get all kinds of chemicals, you know, to take care of the problems that this is creating. You get irritable bowel, now you need drugs for that. You get your osteoporosis, you need painkillers for that. So now you're going back to the exact industry who put this in, and they've now making a profit out of you, you know, from the damage they've done. It's a win-win. I've never seen anything quite like it. It's just fantastic business profile.
All right, well, let's get into all of these differences between North and the northern no fluoride versus the southern fluoridated Ireland.
Yeah, they in the Republic of Ireland, you see, people don't understand that that Ireland is divided, and we have Northern Ireland's about a third of the whole island. We're up in the north, and the whole southern part is a Republic of Ireland, and they're fluoridated. We're no longer
they're part of the UK, right? The southern.
No, we're part of the UK.
Oh, you're part of the UK. Okay.
Yeah, they're an independent country.
Okay.
Now, supposedly independent. but they, they're fluoridated. And
they're independent and they fluoridate. That makes sense.
Yeah, there you go. And nobody ever asked them. That was forced on them. Nobody's ever had a vote on fluoride in the South. Here in the North, we had it taken out of the two towns that it was being done to, and it never got started here at all. So we're without fluoride here. And every year, the Republic of Ireland's government does what they call a cancer atlas, an all-Ireland cancer atlas. And they compare on maps where everybody lived who had a cancer, what kind of cancer it was, and they lump them all together. So all the pancreatic cancers appear on the one map. All the leukemias appear on one map. All the prostate cancers appear on one map, and so on. And they look at 18 different cancers. And the latest maps that came out show Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland, and green is for very little cancer. Purple is for a lot of cancer. And so we look at pancreatic cancer. And what do we find? All of Northern Ireland, right up to the border, is in green. No purple at all. The whole of the south of Ireland is purple, running all the way down, from the border all the way down. The same with leukemia, the same with the prostate cancer. And there's in all 18 cancers, the Republic of Ireland was higher by 40% in most and double in a number of them, so than Northern Ireland. And they have the highest osteoporosis rate in Europe. And that's one of the main things that fluoride causes is osteoporosis and arthritis, because the teeth are the only visible part of your skeleton. So if it can make hard teeth, it must also be making hard bones. And that's where you store all the fluoride that you take in. You store it in the center of your bones, which is also where your immune system is born. Not a good idea, but that's what they're doing. And so it causes osteoporosis. It makes everything go hard. And hard bones are not healthy bones. Healthy bones are you fall down, you bend, like a young person. Not you fall down, you break like crystal. That's osteoporosis.
Sure,
that's
I remember, you know, 10 years ago, my step-grandmother, maybe 15 years ago, breaking her hip from osteoporosis, and probably because of all the damn fluoride in the area.
Yeah, and if you look, as I say, the Republic of Ireland has the highest osteoporosis rate in Europe, and they have they lead Europe mostly in everything. They certainly beat Northern Ireland in all different kinds of cancers, and osteoporosis, and arthritis, and thyroid dysfunction. I mean, they just lead in everything. And they've also got the, as I've read anyway, that they have the lowest life expectancy in Europe as well.
Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, Republic of Ireland.
That's incredible.
So I mean, why is it that people...
And there's just a magic line there that that's incredible.
An invisible line. That if you cross over, you start to die. It's because all the drinking pipes end at the border. We don't share our drinking pipes with the South. So they are on a separate water supply that runs right up to the border. That's my theory on what's happening. But,
wow.
Now, I don't know. Do you know who Dr. Dean Burke is?
I do not.
Okay, well, he was the head of the National Cancer Institute, U.S. National Cancer Institute, for about 35 years, 40 years. He was the senior scientist there. He did a study in America. He took the 10 largest fluoridated cities and he compared them to the 10 largest non-fluoridated cities year by year. And before they got fluoridated, all 20 cities had the exact same cancer rate. The year of fluoridation, the cancer started to go up in the fluoridated areas, but the cancer rate stayed the same in the non-fluoridated. And it kept going up and up and up. It never came down. He figured that in the 10 years that fluoridation had gone on, they had lost about 44,000 American people to cancer related to fluoride poisoning. And here we see the maps of Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland. We get the exact same results.
And so so people with who live in fluoridated areas, they always have the best teeth, right?
Well, that's what they pretend. You know, but then look at who's doing the counting here. You know, who's doing all the studies that look at whether the teeth are better in the fluoridated area, but the dentists who put it in.
And so what is the, you know, and when we factor in the fluorosis, et cetera, then we find out that, you know, it went from 3% of these kids having cavities to 50% of the population having fluorosis, which is more damaging than the cavities.
and has causes osteoporosis and
not all, and all of the other health side effects, cancer, suicide on down the list. And I wonder, you know, how many of these tie into schizophrenia as well. You know, even wheat and these things. You mentioned that fluoride ties into irritable bowel syndrome. So does wheat, ironically. And so, again, we have these same things that target the same symptoms. Like, wheat also causes schizophrenia. As Dr. Bill Davis has pointed out in his book, Wheat Belly, I had him on my show a couple of years ago as well. And so, you know, it's clear that fluoride and wheat almost attack the same parts of the body and have the same effects as do the as does the low-fat diet. So, I mean, that just it just doesn't seem like it could be coincidence when you have these three things that do almost the same thing in their own ways. So, let's get into exports. Now, you're saying that the Republic of Ireland, the Southern Ireland, they can't, because of the fluoride in their water supply, they're not supposed to export products to the rest of Europe. Is that correct?
Well, there was a European court case that was fought in the European court, the Court of Justice, and it was brought in Germany. I don't know why it was brought, but it was against fluoridated products, and it was a fluoridated water in particular. And they ruled that fluoride is a drug. And a medicine, really. And any product that it is put into, the water that's now fluoridated, now that product becomes a medicine as well and must be tested as a medicine. None of this stuff has ever been tested. Therefore, they said it could not be, none of these products that contain fluoride, and we're talking about milk, butter, you're talking about beef, you're talking about anything that the water has been added to, cannot be sold in Europe. That's what they stated. Now, nobody has pushed it. That was in 2005 that court ruling came out. And nobody has actually taken a case to prevent this from happening. But the potential is there because I don't know if you remember, years ago, the Europeans wanted steroids in beef banned. They didn't want any steroids in the beef.
The only reason why you need steroids in beef is if you feed the beef grains instead of grass, because the mycotoxins and fungus in the grains make the cows sick, so then they need the antibiotics.
Well, there you go. So, but in Europe, the Irish and the British refused to take the steroids out. So Europe banned them. They banned all their products. Anything that had all their beef, their cat, you know, their sheep, chickens, anything that had steroids in them, they wouldn't allow them to be sold.
And of course, all that hits is the small farmers, and et cetera, just like the mad cow massacre where they made everybody kill their cows, even though it was only the factory farms.
Yep. Yeah, all same
that,
thing.
All that's done is to, that's just done to wipe out the small farmers so that people don't have local grass-fed healthy products to eat. What were some of the products that fluoride was found? I would have to imagine that this would have to be true for the U.S. as well, since 60% of the U.S. fluoridates. Yep. Then wouldn't Europe have bans on U.S. products as well over this?
No, probably your steroids. Yes, they would ban the steroids from America as well. But as far as the fluoride being in the products, they haven't actually banned products yet. Nobody's brought a case in Europe. But the French, who are very aggressive, they're the ones who caused the ban against the steroids in the first place. They started throwing sheep overboard at Le Havre, refused to take any British sheep or Irish sheep at that point. So they were forced to take the steroids out of all beef in Ireland and in Great Britain. They no longer have the steroids because the Europeans forced the ban. Now, the potential is there that if Europe figure out that all the products from the Republic of Ireland are fluoridated, they can use the law that just got passed, ruling, and ban all products from the Republic, which would just devastate farming because most of the GNP in the South is farming. So it would be a disaster, really, on a massive scale. I mean, Guinness, all these products, I mean, imagine if they all got banned, everything that had fluoride in it. It would be it'd be devastating to the Republic of Ireland. And,
wow.
You know, As I said to you, when you put this in the water supply and you drink it, it's passing the teeth at 100 miles an hour. You know, it's not even hardly touching the teeth on its way down. But it's now, because it's water soluble, it's going into every cell of your body. And somehow you want to believe, well, a lot of your listeners may believe, that the fluoride, you know, only affects the teeth. Well, how does it find its way back to teeth only?
It just stops at the teeth and doesn't go down the throat. Sure, that makes a lot of sense.
So it's going into every cell of your body, and you're telling me the only thing it can change is your teeth. How does it do that?
People with depression problems and other health problems look at the fluoride and get it out. It's just one more way that we're being poisoned here. So what is excess exposure to fluoride, and how can people recognize it?
Well, there are different symptoms. If you start having joint pains, you start having skin rashes that don't go away, stop washing with this stuff. You know, stop taking it in. When I went to London, I met with Tess Jowell, the British health minister, and Dr. Shishila, who's the top doctor in the world. She's got over 100 studies in her own name on fluoride causing harm to humans, came with me. And she did a presentation, and she showed that if you stop taking in fluoride from all sources, within 10 to 15 days, if your problems are caused by fluoride, they'll start to clear up, and they'll actually go away. So, for example, if you had irritable bowel syndrome.
So the body can actually heal from fluoride quickly. It can recover from the damage.
If you stop bringing it in, it's excreting it all the time. It's trying to get rid of it. It's a poison. So it's trying to get it out of the system. But if you keep bringing it in all the time, you just overcome the system with it. And then you start having all these problems. But she said in 10 to 15 days with no drugs at all, she could clear up irritable bowel syndrome. So I went on the radio in the Republic of Ireland. When I came back from that meeting with Tessa Jowell, I went on the Irish radio stations. And I told the population what Dr. Shishila had said. And I got phone calls from all over Ireland, the people with irritable bowel syndrome and thyroid dysfunction and all kinds of things. And I recommended to all of them to go on to distilled water, steamed vegetables, and take no products, nothing. And in 10 to 15 days, they would have a change in their irritable bowel syndrome and all the pains that they were getting and so on. And I got calls from loads of people who called me back to tell me of huge changes in their life just getting rid of this fluoride out of their system. There's a family in Dublin who called me up, and they all had irritable bowel. The husband hadn't worked in about 7 years. Within those 15 days, at the end of the 15 days, they were all clear. No more irritable bowel. And he was able to go back to work.
Very interesting. You know, and I would bet that the ones who didn't recover from the fluoride would recover from quitting the wheat.
Yeah.
Wow. They've
caught you from so many different directions now.
Yep,
with the,
they really have.
Additives in your food, you know, the stuff they're putting out through smokestacks, and now this stuff in the water system. You've got microwaving that you never got before, you know, from all this wireless equipment. I mean, they're hitting you from everywhere now. There's just no escaping. There's so much stuff hitting you. And that's what's really causing the breakdowns in humans. We wouldn't have half of these things if we got rid of just, as you're saying, the wheat. If we got rid of the sugar out of our diets, my God, we'd clear up so much stuff. If we stopped the fluoride, I don't know if there'd be cancer at all if we got rid of these things. I really don't think there would be. People who get out of the way of this, as you're talking about, isn't it the diet that you're on is a more primitive diet where you're going back to eating raw foods and things like that?
Well, I was a vegan and a vegetarian for years. That was the most destructive thing I ever did. And then you discover that, you know, Plato and these guys way back in the day, you know, you get into, we've on the Gnostic Media website, the Will Durant episode under the Trivium Study section discusses how Plato promoted vegetarianism for eugenics.
Wow.
You know, and that was 2,500 years ago. And, so the low-fat diet, they've always known that low-fat affects the brain and affects reproduction. And people, you know, in fact, there's been four cases here in the last decade at least of vegan families who have a newborn, and don't breastfeed and think that the baby should not have any saturated fats, and then the baby gets extremely ill and dies. People get, go to prison for manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like, you have boobs and they're there for a reason and babies need that. It's not like some bad, these people are so insane that they think, well, I'm a vegan and therefore my baby has to be vegan, and these things on my front are worthless. They have nothing to do with, with life on this planet.
I know. Well, here's another interesting fact that a breastfeeding mother who takes in fluoride herself, much smaller than about 10 times as less fluoride will come out of her breast than she's taking in. So if she's taking in not one part per million, that won't be coming out of her breast. Well, there's some protective system put in place by nature to prevent fluoride from getting to that newborn. And you then circumvent that by starting to bottle feed children and then giving them these powders, which have probably a fluoride in the
infant
formula.
Get this. The baby formulas have soy.
Yeah.
And soy has huge amounts of estrogen. So guess what happens to the males who get that soy? And of course, even the FDA lists soy as a poison more than 250 times. And people still eat that crap and they feed it to their babies.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. There's a total lack of education out there.
If you think about, excuse me here, folks in the audience, but if you think about the jokes against Asian culture and the consumption of soy, 1 + 1 = 2, you realize soy has estrogen in it. No male should ever eat soy, ever. And that was with a period.
Yeah. And, you'd asked me about other damage as well, aside from, all the poisonings and enamel damage and thyroid dysfunction. I just want to read out, this is from the British Medical Association's new guide to drugs and medicines. Comes out every year. They put this thing out. And under fluoride, it says that, this is just to show you how close to toxic this stuff is. It tells you that at 1 part per million is really good for teeth, but at 2 parts per million, it causes that dental fluorosis I'm telling you about. And then it says at 8 parts per million, it may lead to bone disorders and degenerative changes in the kidneys, the liver, the adrenal glands, the heart, the central nervous system, and the reproductive organs. That's how toxic this stuff is. You're getting 1 part per million from your tea. You're getting 1 part per million from your pasta. You're getting overdosed. You're getting well into about 8 parts per million. It may not seem like it, but that's what's happening. And
now,
if you look at it, there's cancer everywhere.
Isn't fluoride one of the only substances that can make, in a high enough quantity, can actually make water catch fire?
Well, I haven't heard that.
Read a study maybe 10 or 15 years ago that this guy had put out, and the website long gone, but he had done a detailed study of fluoride, and, in high concentrations, like fluoride could be flashed to a point where it would actually make water burn.
Wow. Well, I wouldn't be surprised with the hydrofluorosilicic acid. I'm shocked everybody doesn't burst into flames with this stuff. It is a toxic waste to the fertilizer industry. That's mainly where they get it from. And they're not allowed to release this into the atmosphere. That's the problem for them. By international law, they're prevented from releasing it into the atmosphere. So they put these scrubbers into the chimneys, and they capture all the gases and all the contaminants as they come up. And then at the end of the night, they wash those scrubbers out with sulfuric acid. And it creates a slurry, a chemical slurry called hydrofluorosilicic acid. Now, they don't then try and get all those contaminants out, like the lead, the uranium, the arsenic. No, they just take it right to your water treatment plant and they put it in for you. And thereby they get rid of their toxic waste. You eat it. Quite astounding. And remember, 99.9% of all of this is lost before you even get it. I mean, it's a disaster, an environmental disaster. And there's no environmental impact studies have ever been done on this stuff either. They never looked at this.
Well, that's because they're too worried about killing us all before they, it's like, they, you know, it's like, using chemo to fight cancer. You know, you want to kill the cancer off being us before you kill the entire environment.
Yeah.
All right. So how can people test their own water?
Well, the thing to do is to take your water to a lab. You're going to have to pay for this, but it's the only way to do it. And you give them the parameters you want tested. So you'll tell them what you're looking for, like lead, arsenic, fluoride, you know, uranium, whatever you want to find out about. They'll come back to you with a readout of what exactly is in your water supply. Then you'll know what you're actually drinking. Right now, people don't have a clue what they're drinking, and yet their entire life depends on this. And your body's 76% water. Your head is 87% water, something like that.
Yeah, and a lot of these people, they drink this bottled water and they think that's safe, but many of the bottled waters have added fluoride as well.
Yep.
You know, a lot of these Coca-Cola and Pepsi Company waters and stuff, Nestle Co. But, you know, and not only that, but you have all of the plastic leaching into the water from that stuff.
That's right.
And so, you know, you really need to be either distilling or using reverse osmosis on your water.
Yeah. Yeah. No, bottled water is pretty jeopardized. If you think about it, first of all, is just as you're saying, there's the estrogen, the synthetic estrogen that comes out of the plastics.
And that was for soy. So you're saying it's in the plastic as well?
Oh, yeah, that's what they use in plastics to make it soft. If you
you're talking about the
plasticizer.
The phthalates.
Yeah, they're actually estrogen. They're a synthetic form of estrogen.
that's too good. So they hit us with estrogen in the soy, and then in all the bottles.
The
I mean, you know, and I did a show earlier this year. What was his name? Curtis Duncan. Duncan Curtis. Boy, I get his name mixed up every single time I say it. But it was. Let me just pull this up here real quick. It was a really good show. It's Curtis Duncan, The Conspiracy to Feminize Males and to Masculinize Females. And boy, what you're talking about right here with, you know, I had no idea that the phthalates, et cetera, were estrogens.
Yeah, they're synthetic. They're the same molecule construction. They're synthetic estrogens.
So ladies and gentlemen who drink your water out of a plastic bottle and eat your soy, you vegetarians, you know, there you go.
See, when they make the plastics, if they didn't put the estrogen in, they would turn hard. It would be a hard plastic. But if they put the estrogen in, they mix it around.
Well, yeah, it would have too much testosterone without the estrogen in it, and it would get hard, so they have to put the estrogen to make it soft.
And it doesn't bond with anything. So as soon as you put a liquid in it, or you put fat of any kind, say you wrap your butter in it, or saran wrap or whatever you do, it wipes off onto your food. So you're getting it from the plastic bottles, you're getting it from the plastic wraps, you're getting it from anything that's shrunk wrapped. It's all over the place, really. and it is feminizing, there's no doubt of that.
Yeah.
And there is an increase in breast cancer in the West, there's an increase in infertility in the West, you know, and low sperm count. You know, and we're putting estrogen into all of these products. Plus, our water pipes are PVC, you know, polyvinyl chloride. So, you know, you're just everything's plastic now. You know, it's really tough to avoid. I avoid everything. Everything we buy here in the house comes in glass. We don't buy it if it comes in plastic. So you can't avoid it, but it's another problem. And then
here's an issue for you. You know, here, the only raw milk that we can get comes in a plastic bottle, and the pasteurized organic will come in a glass bottle. But the pasteurized organic, of course, makes you sicker.
Yeah, pasteurizing is another bad disaster.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
No, if you can get raw milk, get it. You know, but as you say, I wouldn't get it in a plastic container.
Unfortunately, that's the only way we can get it. So what I'll do is contact the company and see if, you know, if I can pay a few more dollars to get it in glass.
Yeah, I mean, you can probably talk to a farmer direct.
And that's so, you know, it's so hard here. They've pretty much wiped out most of the ranchers here that you could buy from direct. I mean, people are starting to wake up to the whole issue, and you know, you're starting to see a lot of ranchers getting more and more popular again, becoming sort of the center of the culture as they should be. But they're really hard to find. Like, you know, for us to find a rancher, it's at least an hour drive. You know, and I get, we get all of our beef from a bison ranch up in, you know, Northern California that's all fresh. And I've been there and I've seen the animals and all of that stuff. And we have it shipped down fresh from there.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's, you've got to do what you can to protect yourself here because we're in such a jeopardized environment. You have to grow your own food if you can do it. We do. We have raised beds, and we grow as much vegetables as we can. You know, we have kale coming in right now. We have onions. We have garlic.
Sure. And just don't eat that kale raw because it's toxic too.
Well,
kale is supposed to be at least steamed, or it has other problems. So
yeah, well, you've got to cook potatoes. You know, I mean,
exactly.
Different veg need to be cooked. You know, and some you can eat raw. So I guess we're growing our own, is what I'm saying.
All right. So what are the best distillers and reverse osmosis systems that you would recommend people use, or do you have any? Just recommend they get something.
I recommend you get something. I think the best thing you can do is you put in distillation unit into your search engine, and you put in China, because most of them are all manufactured from a couple of plants. And the cheapest one that comes up for you, you buy it.
Well, and you make sure that it's stainless steel, not
plastic. Stainless steel, yeah. Get stainless steel. And I'll tell you something else that happened here, even in Northern Ireland, because they're using sulfuric acid in the water supply. They're using all kinds of contaminants as well. We distill our water here. Okay. And when I got the first distillation unit, it was stainless steel. I didn't clean it out for like a week and a half, and little holes started appearing in the stainless steel. The contaminants that were left in the bottom of the container after the distillation, after the water was taken out, started eating the actual stainless steel container.
Shit.
So that's how powerful this stuff is, you know. And so you've got to really look after your health.
You're gonna make me go buy new filters for my reverse osmosis system as soon as we're done here.
Yeah, I would advise it. You got to replace them all the time.
Yeah, it's been a year, maybe 13 months. So I probably should do it now anyway. I think we're you know, it's still, you can tell when the filter starts going bad. It things start tasting foul.
Yeah, but you know, the problem with filters, and this is one of the things I would say reverse osmosis even has a problem compared to distillation. First, the distiller's a fraction of the price of a reverse osmosis anyway. And it, also, it's transportable, so you can take it with you on holiday or anywhere you go.
Well, like I said, I have a countertop reverse osmosis system that's very small, and it cost me $120. And it fits right on my countertop. I can, it just has a little thing that you can take it with you on trips. You can unscrew it really easily. It's not like your typical ones. I found it on eBay. I just looked, I searched countertop 5-pass reverse osmosis system, or it was 5 or 6-pass, I forget. And it came right up. But, you know, I've definitely noticed a big difference since we started using that.
Oh yeah, you will, even to your health, to the taste of food, everything.
So, you know, but it's not one of the big ones. But again, you know, you can get one that you can travel with, you know, take with you on your road trips or whatever. Hook it right up into a hotel faucet or whatever you need to do. It's got a little adapter right there to connect to a sink and everything. So it's you know, you don't have to drill a hole in your countertop to put a spout in, and you don't have to have a big 3 or 5 gallon jug under the counter.
No. The only thing I was going to say, though, is with filters, on the first day you have the filter, it's at 100% peak performance. By a month, it's now starting to clog up, and so you're getting 40% performance. But you don't notice the difference because it's introduced the chemicals to you in very small amounts. So
right.
Gradually, you're getting more and more chemicals as the filter gets older. And so after 2 months, you may be getting no filtering hardly at all, but you don't notice the change in the amount of chemicals because you gradually got introduced to them again.
Right.
So that's why the filters are, I think, the reverse.
Well, I notice if I drink other water that's not from our place, I spit it out. It tastes so foul.
Yeah. Oh, we're the same. I mean, once you get off of the tap water, you can't go back. You can taste it in anything they put it in. Sure. It's an unbelievable amount of chemicals.
Well, you know, and here's another issue is that when we started using the reverse osmosis filter for all of the coffee water, when you brew the coffee in the morning, there was no longer any ring that didn't come off on the damn coffee pot.
Yeah.
You know, it just cleans right out. No nasty deposits, and not, you know, the calcium and everything is not stuck on the side along with the fluoride, et cetera.
Well, yeah, and it should be pointed out, too, to the listeners that if you don't use a filter and you don't use a distillation unit, your kidneys are having to do this job. You know, your kidneys have to filter everything that comes in. Your body has to process to get all it wants is pure water. If you bring it in with fluoride and uranium and all these other contaminants, your body has to now get them out of it because it needs just plain water. So either your body does it or the distillation unit does it. You choose. I'd rather my body fought cancer and took its time taking care of me than it's busy trying to get all these chemicals out. So I use the distillation unit as an outside kidney.
And how long does it, you know, because for reverse osmosis, it takes, you know, ours will make a gallon every 15 or 20 minutes. How long does the distiller take?
To make a gallon be about 3 hours.
Okay.
You can get faster ones and bigger ones, you know, but just a domestic one you could carry around with you or take on holiday with you would be about 3 hours.
And how much would that cost?
I'm not sure what pounds turn into in dollars here. Let's see. It'd be less than 100 euros. So I don't know what a euro is.
I think it's $1.6 per euro.
Yeah, something like that. So you're talking just over $100. And the unit lasts for about 6-7 years, just running solidly.
Okay, so that's actually, you know, money-wise, it's slower, but it's a little more cost-effective than replacing the filters on the reverse osmosis system.
Well, and also with the distillation, it takes out 96% of everything.
Yeah, this one that I have is like 96 to 99% of everything as well. It's way up there.
Yeah, but the nice thing is that it always stays at that because whereas the filters are starting to clog up.
I suppose you should run your water through the filter into the distiller.
Yeah, probably. Actually, that'd be the smartest thing to do.
Right.
Because at that point, you would be down to such small amounts, there'd be almost nothing there.
Except water, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's it. You know? A lot of people on the face of the earth actually live off of rainwater, you know, which is distilled water.
True that.
So it's gone through a distillation process, too, you know. But they can't control the dose. They don't know how much of this stuff you're getting. They just keep adding more and more of it. And they're really just dumping for industry. That's all that's going on here, you know. I did read that up in Calgary, there on the St. Lawrence Seaway, there's an aluminium plant downriver, and it creates something like, I don't know, a huge amount of fluoride each year, you know, that it has to then get rid of, but it's not allowed to put any more than, I think it's 32 tons or something of fluoride into the Allegheny River. Any more than that would kill off everything in the river. But they still have this excess of fluoride, so they sell it to Calgary for water fluoridation, and then they put it in the drinking water, and it all goes down the Allegheny River anyway.
Oh, the insanity of stupidity.
Yeah, it's a beautiful system.
So what can people do, Walter?
Well, I think, first of all, you avoid this stuff as best you can. You get yourself a distillation unit or reverse osmosis. You tell your friends. You copy stuff off the internet and you give them copies. There are plenty of videos on the internet about this. And then I would start up a citizens group. And I would then take it to your council, to your everybody, whoever you can take it to. Whenever we were fighting this in Northern Ireland, I even went to goat herders meetings. You know, I went to teachers associations. I went to, my wife even went to mother toddlers groups and talked about it. So I started talking about it to everybody, and I got everybody to join organization, you know, a citizens group, to try and then confront the government with it. You can do the same. You know, when they see a concerted effort, it just happened in Portland. There was a citizens group there that even put up billboards through the whole town about fluoride. And eventually they just gave in. They took it out. I think, isn't it Austin, Texas just got it taken out about 6 months ago?
Wow, the same nice. Thing.
It was two doctors down there that fought the case for the citizens group, and they formed a citizens group and got
you know,
it taken.
Let me just say also that, you know, a lot of people have a habit of thinking in groupthink when they take care of this stuff. You know, you have to go after the government. You know, the government is really just a religion. What you have is a bunch of people who put on, you know, fancy Halloween costumes, and they parade around and commit crimes that they normally wouldn't without the costume. And so, you know, we have to stop thinking in this groupthink, like we have to act, a whole bunch of us together, against this nefarious other group called government. And so, you know, if you know your city council members are doing this, you can sue them directly in the
Yes.
court of record. You do not have to go after them under the umbrella, this protective umbrella of the corporation of the city. You go after them directly. How many of these sons of bitches are going to keep doing this stuff when people start suing them? Because, hey, you know what? I got IBS, and, you know, I can show that it's related to the fluoride in the water, et cetera. I can show direct damages. You're refusing it. You put it in the water. I'm suing you, the human being. There, you don't sue a city. A city is a nothing. It's a non-entity. It's a ghost. It's a phantom. Sue the people behind it. Stop suing a piece of property or phantoms.
Oh, absolutely. They breached a number of laws in what they're doing, and you can easily take them up on it. You know, there's a law here, and you have it too. I'm going to mispronounce it probably, but it's called malfeasance.
Malfeasance, maybe?
Yes, that's it. And it means you can't deny, you know, or say, well, gee, if I had a known, it's your job to know. If you're doing this, or you're allowing
ignorance
this
of the law is not justification for breaking the law. In other words, that's it's
exactly.
That old saying.
Yes. And so these people are actually vulnerable. We just don't end up suing them.
Right. Well, we're changing all of that real fast across all of these wonderful British colonies. And former.
You know, if you have crows coming into your yard and you kill one of them, you hang it from the clothesline, you won't have any more crows. And I think that's what we need to do.
The only problem is if you kill one of them first and you don't do something about it real fast. I mean, if you get one and he doesn't die right away, he's going to give a call out to all of the other crows or ravens. And then within about 10 or 20 minutes, the sky over wherever that took place will be black with them taunting you.
Well, I guess my point is that if we take out one of these civil servants who's doing this, one of these counselors or whoever's approving all of this, there won't be too many more want his job.
We'll take them out as in sue them and go after them. We've got to be careful on our ambiguity there.
Yeah, I'm not talking about actually killing anybody.
Right.
I'm talking about taking them through the court system and just hanging them out to dry, you know.
Exactly.
Then nobody will want the job. Nobody will want to go around saying this is all safe and all these other lies that they've been putting out.
So all right. go ahead.
No, go on.
Well, I was going to ask you, Walter, what is the single most important point that you would like people to take away from this interview?
Oh, wow. I don't know that there's a single point other than that. Get out of some stuff and get your families out of the way of it now. Get this stuff out of your life as best you can, whether it's a reverse osmosis, distillation, get non-fluoridated toothpaste. Avoid getting this stuff at the dental seat in the first place. And just try and avoid.
And if you listen to my show with Rami Nagel a couple of weeks ago, you will realize that half the dentistry is a fraud, too.
Yep.
And so you can stay out of the dentist chair by changing your diet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are the things the dentist doesn't want you to know. And I mean, logically, why would you think he wants to put something in the water supply that if it worked, it would automatically put him out of business?
Right. Sure.
You know?
And so do you have any books or websites or anything that you would like to send people to?
Well, there's a book that's out called The Fluoride Deception by Christopher Bryson.
Right, I've seen that one around.
Yeah, which I think goes a long way because it's very accessible. He just does it in very easy terms. He's a BBC correspondent. And so I think it's a good book. The other thing is there's fluoridealert.org. That's fluoridealert.org. That's a website run by a chemistry professor who's put a lot of effort into this. And they have the Fluoride Action Network that they've tried to disseminate as much information. If you call up and you need information to go to a council meeting, they'll send it to you, or it'll be on their site.
FluorideActionNetwork.com.net?
Yeah, well, Fluoride Action Network. I don't know if it's .com. I'm not sure.
All right, I'll look it up. That's fine. And I've you know, I went through their information years ago when, you know, trying to alert my sister to all of this stuff. And, you know, of course, boy, you know, they just really do everything to fool us, you know, away from the truth and the most obvious answer and solutions.
Yeah. Yeah. It always has been like that. You know, they know they have control over what's happening in the media and in your food chain. And, you know, they're playing with it. They're putting all these things in. We're spending all our time trying to get them back out again, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, yes, there is a concerted effort to kill you. If you want to sit here and call us wacky conspiracy theorists because you close your ears and or close your eyes and plug your ears and go la 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 really loud and stick your head up your butt, you know, that's all the power to you. But, you know, ignorance is not bliss, and it's going to get you into a heap of trouble. All of you positive thinkers who refuse to look at any information before you name call it people and you know, and attack them for being negative, for daring to share information, you need to wake up. And so, Walter, thank you so much. This is, I suppose, the end of, what is this, episode number, oh boy, 184, 185, something like that. It looks like it's episode number 185. So thank you so much for coming on and for taking your time to help people become aware. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just point out, this guy stopped an entire country from doing this himself. What do you think you can do if you get off your ass and act and stop positive pillow sitting meditating? So there you go.
Thanks for having me.